Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to the Gridiron Show in association with Sports Travel Tours, and we have a huge show for you today. A huge interview, a huge announcement, and it's Colour Rush Night. We'll preview all of the Week 9 games and get through all of your texts and tweets as well. Texted, never done text before. No idea what we're talking about. This is the Gridiron Show. I don't know what happened there with the text tweets, emails and tweets, because we have had emails in for the first time ever, so we'll get onto all of that a little bit later on. Will Gavin and Ollie Hunter, I'm here in the usual studio. Ollie Hunter has got so offended at me coughing in his face on a repeated basis that he's doing the show from the other side of London.
Yes, I am indeed, yes. But it didn't stop me from air drumming and air guitaring, a bit like a mental, to the music.
Is that acceptable?
A bit like a crazy.
So, Ollie,
if you get worried about it, edit it.
How's your week been, or should I say?
To the bang.
To the bang, if I say. My week's been good. I'm still growing my beard because on Saturday, and it's good that we're doing the podcast now, because on Saturday I'm going to be in a film.
Ooh, do tell.
Yeah,
this isn't the big announcement. I just want to point that out because we've got lots to get onto today. This is the Gridiron Show in association with Sports Travel Tours, and it's a Sports Travel Tours related announcement coming up in a couple of moments' time. But Ollie, the Hollywood star, tell me all.
I wouldn't say Hollywood star, but it's a British production. It's a feature film. Yes.
Dreams of Hollywood.
Dreams of Hollywood.
Bursting across the podcast.
I didn't have to read for the part, which was wonderful.
Was it that of a homeless man?
It's basically that of a homeless explorer. It's a horror movie. I get killed.
Excellent.
And it does have a cinema release, I believe.
Hashtag spoiler alert, but I would have guessed you got killed. You don't strike me as a final female type.
There is no way I'm a final female type.
Good stuff, mate. Well, as I say, there's so much to cram into today's show. We're going to look forward to all of the Week 10 games. We've also got the Thursday night game. We'll do a review of that. And we've got a massive interview with none other than someone of the Carolina Panthers.
Is that because you haven't done it yet?
No, yeah, the reason I say it like that. Basically, we've got an interview set up for tomorrow with Josh Norman, superstar cornerback of the Carolina Panthers.
He's so in right now. He's so hot right now.
But the problem is he's so hot right now that they basically said to me, look, we're going to do our very best to get you on the phone with Josh, but we can't absolutely 100% guarantee it because during our limited media availability post-practice, he's meant to be doing the podium, he's meant to be doing this, that, and the other. You are a priority, but not the number one priority. So it may be that we don't speak to Josh, we may speak to Thomas Davis, we may speak to...
Rubbish.
shut your mouth.
Josh Norman or nothing. Thomas Davis who? That's a disgrace.
Thomas
don't
Davis,
they know who we are?
Thomas Davis Senior. I think you'll find.
That guy.
Not Thomas Davis, who? Thomas Davis, we may get Luke Kuechly, we may get K1 Short.
Luke Kuechly? He can naff off.
You shut up, Ollie Hunter. They've given us a whole backup list of players. So we're going to be speaking with a player from a team who are, as my buzz phrase appeared to be when I went back and edited the last show, halfway to perfection. And I'm going to ask them about that in that exact way.
Oh, don't say that. Please don't.
So that's going to be coming up in a very short while. And the big announcement in relation to Sports Travel Tours, sports travel for sports fans, by sports fans, is that, of course, we trailed it on this podcast for a long time, that if you subscribed to Gridiron Magazine, which you can still do at gridiron-magazine.com, prior to the 1st of November, you would be entered into a competition to win tickets to either the AFC or NFC Championship game. And not just tickets, flights, accommodation and experience on the day, so tailgating, etc. as well. What a prize, Ollie Hunter.
That's a marvellous prize.
That literally worth thousands of pounds.
Yeah.
Maybe a thousand, well, for two tickets and two flights, yes, thousands of pounds, literally thousands of pounds. So, the exciting thing is, the announcement is that live on Monday night / Tuesday morning show, we're going to be calling up the winner of this competition on the podcast to tell them that they have won tickets to the AFC or NFC Championship game.
Get to France.
And the big thing is if you have entered into this, make sure you are by your phone on Monday evening. That's the first thing. Ollie, can you record on Monday?
Yep.
Excellent. On Monday evening, make sure you're by your phone so we can call you. You don't initially, it's not a choice of the AFC or NFC Championship game. What we're going to do is, when we've got to the divisional round weekend and it's clear who the teams could be you're going to, we will work out what the best travel options are for you, for Sports Travel Tours, where you'll get the best experience in terms of tailgating, etc. So it's not locked in. It's basically going to be what's going to give you the very best possible weekend, which is the best game, which is the best stadium experience, which is the best city to be in, and then we'll pick that one and you'll go to that game.
Wow.
Incredible.
This is incredible stuff.
So Andrew's going to join us on the phone as well from sportstraveltours.com. It's going to be brilliant. I can't wait.
I didn't think it would be that good, but it really will be that good.
Yeah, I'm not lying, buddy. Keep getting in touch with us in all the usual places, at Gridiron on Twitter, gridiron-magazine.com. Get on there and do your predictor game if you've not done it for this weekend. Some people have been doing so badly recently that you can still probably win even if you didn't put the Thursday night game in and have your chance to win a New Era hat. And if you win the whole season overall at the moment, I still think it's the same person in the lead, although I'm back just 4 games. I could win the overall prize.
I have to say, by the way, if you do win the league, you will win the hat. That's only if you vote. If you get your votes in, it's not retrospective winning of hats.
It doesn't matter if you've said it on a well-respected and well-loved podcast,
or this podcast,
and then later had the entries done in a data entry style by the other presenter from the podcast. I really need a slurp of my tea. Ollie, talk for a second.
No, I just wanted to hear you slurp your tea.
You're a prick. Right, so loads to get on to. We'll talk Thursday night in a minute. I figured we put out some... I said it last week. We didn't put out a tweet early enough, so we didn't get enough questions in. So I put out some tweets that were early, and we got quite a few texts and tweets back to us. So let's go through a few things now before we get on to the games. Starting off with... this is one for you, Ollie.
Okay.
Chris has tweeted to say, my enjoyment of the podcast would be massively improved, I mean, by probably a lot of factors, but specifically by @WillGav, my Twitter handle, learning when to use less and when to use fewer.
Oh, my enjoyment of the podcast recording it would be improved by that.
Now, I know my grammar is terrible. It's always been terrible. I get stick from Sherry and from Liam Blackburn for it. Whenever I write pieces for the magazine, I get stick for it. Whenever
is that why you don't write pieces for the magazine?
Basically, yes. I get stick for it. I, like, write interviews up, and then they have to spend hours sub-editing them. So it's why I get in trouble whenever I tweet, putting capitals in the wrong place and writing things at the wrong time and whatever else it is. So my grammar is genuinely terrible. I know that. So Ollie, you need to be correcting me.
Okay.
If I say the wrong thing, pull me up.
No, I don't like doing that. I had to do that for 6 years with a Brazilian Portuguese speaking wife. I had to do that all the time.
You didn't have to, did you?
I did. She asked me.
Maybe it's because you felt you had to.
Ollie, I want to improve my English.
That's a terrible impression, but I love it. So if I say less or fewer in the wrong place, please pull me up on it. I would say play a little sound effect in or something, you know, a little bit of...
I think it was BS.
But you're not in the same studio as me, so I have control over everything. Bobby tweets, and this is in relation to, we talked about on last week's show, the fact that I put sweet corn in my chili con carne.
Bah.
No, there's never been ever, you're a bastard. There's never ever been, in terms of reaction to nonsense we've done on the show, very few things have elicited a reaction more than the football talk. But this week we had two things particularly elicit a reaction. It was our discussion of LaMarcus Joyner and the Teddy Bridgewater hit, which generally people were very positive on. We have had it confirmed just in the last hour or so that LaMarcus Joyner is going to be fined $23,152, to be precise.
Where does that money go, though?
Who knows? But won't receive a ban.
You never know where the money goes on these fines.
But there was, first of all, disgust... And then some people tried it and were on board with the sweet corn. They loved the idea, and it's brought us the idea about of maybe for the playoffs, I think, rather than doing it in the regular season, doing a weekly, we cook something tailgate related, bring it into the studio and do a little recipe taste test recommender thing.
Oh, I quite like that. Tailgate related, though, I think is limiting us.
Well, it needs to be something American football related, otherwise we're just turning our podcast into a cookery show.
Yeah, good point. Okay. All right. Tailgate related. Fine. Or that's any a great
kind of food,
idea.
Any kind of food. And on this very thought, Bobby has tweeted us, and this is a little specific, but I'll answer it. Where's the best place to get a curry in London? Tooting, where I live. There's three
Wembley.
Amazing curry houses in Tooting, which if you go to the timeout list of best curries in London, three of the top five are all within a 10-minute walk of my house. You wonder why I'm a fat bastard. So depending on the type of curry you want, I'll tweet you, Bobby, but just saying Tooting. That's all I'm saying for now. And Simon Davis tweeted us, and this is a disgrace, just saying tortilla or frittata.
What's frittata?
Frittata's somewhere between a quiche and an omelette.
Oh, get out of town.
It's almost like a quiche. It's like an egg-based thing. You do it in a pan, but you almost, it kind of solidifies. It's kind of, it's a bit more than an omelette, but less than a quiche.
Is it Spanish?
It is Spanish.
I had
generally
frittata.
Have potato in it as well.
Yeah, I had a frittata when I went to see Athletic Bilbao versus Real Sociedad. Because I turned up with no food and they realised I was English and had no food, they gave me some of their frittata.
And?
It was really nice, but no, all day long tortilla.
Well said, sir. Well said. The other thing we got a lot of Twitter action about this week outside of the games was the new BBC highlights show.
On
Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, or Wednesday night, Thursday morning, one of those two. And it was Mark Chapman. I refuse to call him by his nickname. It makes him sound like he's on a 90s stag do. OC Umanura and Josh Bell. And,
that was who that guy was.
It was good. The format was a little close to what they do with football, but I guess that's what the BBC do well. But OC is unbelievably good. Get him on the weekly Sky coverage right now. Energy, good analysis, he's funny. I just loved it. So he elevated it. Plus, the way they did the kind of match of the day style, you get one of the better matches, very extended highlights of, or two of the matches very extended highlights of, and then shorter highlights of the other ones. I think that worked really well as well. And overall, it's a big thumbs up. It's still on iPlayer. You can go and watch it. It's worth doing each week for a little midweek refresher, maybe.
Yeah, I'd agree. I really liked Ozzy Umanura. I thought he was fantastic. The one thing I didn't like was the final score style boxing of their analysis. It kind of was a little bit clunky in and out of a full screen. But other than that, I really, really liked it.
Good, good. So let's get to Thursday night football. And not only is it a great game tonight, the Bills travelling to the Jets. Just remind me who you took earlier in the week, Ollie, and you have on the Gridiron Predict game at gridiron-magazine.com.
I have gone for the Jets.
I too have picked the Jets. But most importantly, this might be a divisional game. It might decide that one of these teams definitely aren't going to the playoffs. Well, it might decide the Bills definitely aren't going to the playoffs. But more importantly, it is the first ever Colour Rush game. How did that sound down the line? Weird at all? It's the first ever Colour Rush game. We've tweeted about this a lot. We've talked about this a lot. I don't know what they're going to look like yet, so I'll do a little review of them. But have you seen the Jags and the Titans?
Oh, my God. The Jags is awful.
I tweeted earlier, I think Blake Bortles in that full gold kit looks like a really shit Halloween costume version of an Oscar statue.
Yeah, okay. Or he looks like a giant bullet.
Okay. Or the gold and the blue together. It's a very Kirk and Spock thing as well.
Oh,
that's the other thing that
really
I put on Twitter.
Oh,
it's like
one
Star
for the nerds,
Trek, Star Trek the crap generation.
Yeah, that's great.
That's definitely worth it. Go at Gridiron. We've tweeted that out. Check that out online. So let's go to me talking about this compelling game of Thursday night football.
Sorry, this is a slightly weird way for me to be recording, but unfortunately, due to technical difficulties, I'm doing this on my phone at home when I got back, so I'll keep this quite brief. It's quite a long show already, particularly with our fantastic interview coming up in a short while. Shh, it's Josh Norman. Don't tell anyone. Let's have a quick look at Thursday Night Football in the Rex Revenge Bowl game, or the colourblind and you won't know what's going on game. Honestly, there were colourblind people on Twitter saying that they had to look at the logos on the helmets, otherwise they had no idea who was who. Rex Ryan's return to the Meadowlands, as I say, was a successful one. The Buffalo defense shut down Ryan's former team for much of Thursday night, and the Bills scored on offense and special teams in a 22-17 victory. Duke Williams fumbled a kickoff return 19 yards for the go-ahead spearhead point. Rookie Carlos Williams had a 26-yard touchdown pass. Lovely ball over the top from Tyrod Taylor. Him being back for the Bills is going to be a massive boon. Dan Carpenter kicked three field goals as Buffalo moved to 5-4 and into the wildcard playoff picture, while the Jets have lost three of their last four games. And now that they've lost to teams that are the Raiders, and now they've lost to the Bills, teams who are also in the wildcard race, that puts them in a real difficult position for making the playoffs after such a strong start to the season. Just my quick takeaways from this game then. First of all, Rex Ryan on the sidelines maybe could have chilled out a little bit. I don't know if you realised he used to coach there, funnily enough. So there's a lot of talk about that. His celebrations at the final whistle were something to behold, well worth going and checking out online. He defended the decision to make IK in Kampali as captain. Me and Ollie will talk about that in a minute because I forgot to ask him before this roundup. But otherwise, it was an all-round decent performance. The big thing for me is that the Bills ran the ball really well. You see on that final drive when the Jets failed on the fourth and goal and then were forced to they used their three timeouts. Tyrod Taylor got a big completion to Sammy Watkins, who overall on the night had a tough night up against Darrelle Revis. That was a hell of a matchup for us to watch, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. But LeSean McCoy got 31 yards on that final drive. He managed to get the first down twice, and that killed off the game. From the Jets side of the ball, Chan Gailey has been fantastic for them this year, but didn't quite manage it last night. And whilst Chris Ivory did really well on his and whilst Chris Ivory had his best game in 4 weeks, you know, he didn't get a score like he has been doing recently, but he got more yards per carry than he has in any other game, reliant on a couple of touchdown passes. The one to Eric Decker, excellent ball over middle, and the Brandon Marshall one, hilariously he tugged on Ryan Fitzpatrick's beard. I desperately hope that becomes a new like bit of luck, like kissing Fabian Barthez's head in the France 98 World Cup. If you don't get that reference, you're probably too young to be my friend. So all in all, the biggest problem for the Jets was the missing chances. A throw to the tight end right at the death of the game, and the lack of tight end play overall was absolutely shocking. But they just missed passes in big areas. They didn't go for a field goal on fourth down earlier in the game when I think they were 11 points behind. Not 11, they were 12 points behind, which is why going for the field goal didn't make a huge amount of sense, because they didn't get them within a single score. But they'd gone for that field goal. Then at the end of the game, they could have gone for a field goal instead of being forced to go for it on fourth down. That made a huge difference for them, and also the fact that they just were unable to convert on several of those drives. All in all, the Bills were the better team. It looked like a tight game than it was, and the game ended with a Bakari Rambo pick, which makes me happy at all times. The second best named player in the league after Barcavius Mingo. Really enjoyed Thursday Night Football. Now back to the podcast. Lots of great stuff in here, and our fantastic interview coming up with Josh Norman, the cornerback from the Carolina Panthers. Enjoy.
So there it was, Thursday Night Football. Bills, Jets. I almost got that wrong then and said the Jags, but I didn't. So let's all be pleased about it.
Yay!
on the point, actually, I meant to actually ask you this before we went into the Thursday Night Review, so maybe I'll ask you off the back. EK Impanala Yali Yala Dalala. Sorry, EK Enim Kapali.
That was perfect.
Was it?
Yeah.
Amazing. Is the team captain for tonight's games, and I was wondering what you thought of that.
Bit of a dick move from Rex, isn't it? But
apparently he does it for like every game, though.
Yeah.
Well, every game that he has a player that's related to the opposition.
And he was always going to do it. I mean, it reminds me of a certain former member of this podcast, something he would do.
I think the thing is, and this was eloquently put by Matthew Berry on the Fantasy Focus podcast, is that he's doing what Jeff Fisher did when Jeff Fisher rolled out all of the draft picks they picked up with the RG3 trade as their captains when the Rams played Washington. But the difference being that, well, what did Washington ever do to the Rams? They just gave them a load of high picks in order to get a player. They didn't sack them. They didn't sack them and then pick up a bunch of players that he really would have liked on the team when he was the coach there. He didn't do anything. There's no bitterness there. He just did it. That was a proper dick move. What Rex is doing, I kind of feel is justified.
I think it's all right, really. I mean, all he did was punch Gino in the face. It'd be great.
We've all thought about it.
Yeah, we've all thought about doing it. So, but it'll be, I think it's a bit of a dick move, but I don't really care enough. Sorry, mate. I know you want something better from me. I can't give it you.
Fair enough. That's fine. We also got somebody who was requesting, Cy Day has tweeted, is there a longer version of the Fitz Magic Drop? I'm sure you've played it, but maybe it was just a seriously mental dream. There's a full song. It's like a 2-minute long song. I'm going to play it underneath us now while we're talking. We put it on the end of a podcast a couple of weeks ago. I'll tell you what we'll do. If Fitz Magic has an amazing game tonight and the Jets win and he throws three touchdowns, we will end the podcast with the Fitz Magic song in full. Agreed?
Yeah, agreed.
Excellent. This is what I really enjoy when we do these shows in different studios, Ollie, is the live in-pod show planning that we end up doing.
Isn't it great? It's just wonderful.
So our Panthers interview coming up momentarily. There is some bye week teams on week 10, Atlanta, Indianapolis, San Diego, San Francisco. Quite a few of them have had a bit of news this week. I thought we could touch on some of that before we move on and talk about the weekend games and specifically the Panthers. First of all, for the Colts, Andrew Luck is going to be out for 2 to 6 weeks with a lacerated kidney. Classic moment of we finish recording the podcast and that news comes out about an hour later. We found out that the Colts have claimed Charlie Whitehurst, clipboard Jesus, is back in the league off waivers. He was cut from the Titans early this week in order to allow room for fat David Cobb onto their 53-man roster. Chaz Whitehurst, who had good... He started 7 games for the Titans last season, completed 101 for 105 for 1,326 yards, 7 touchdowns, just 2 interceptions. So, actually, I remember he had that really good stretch under center for the Titans last year. But basically, it's just we need a clipboard holder behind our clipboard holder because our number one guy is suffering big time.
Yeah. I mean, okay. I mean, Hasselbank will be in, and everyone knows that. But just in case he goes down, Whitehurst is a good enough guy to have backing up the backup.
We're going to be talking about the Titans in a minute when we talk about the Panthers. But the big question this raises, I guess, is can any of the other teams win the AFC South now? Do you think the Colts with Hasselbeck, considering he came in, played very well, but played very well against mediocre teams... Do you think he can go on a run here with Andrew Luck out of the team and still take the Colts to the division title?
I mean, the thing that you've got in his favour for that to actually happen is that he does have 2 wins under his belt. He does know the offence. He does know the coaches. Charlie Whitehurst doesn't. So he does have all of that in his locker. The fact that the Colts haven't been playing great, regardless of whether he's been in or not, is a worry. Their only good game really was that game against Denver last week, and now the man that orchestrated it is Andrew Luck, and he's out. So it's almost a coin flip to see how well they do. The thing that also that goes in their favour is that the rest of the AFC South really sucks.
We've been saying AFC South, by the way. I think you mean the division of disgrace.
Yeah, but didn't we decide that it wouldn't be the division of disgrace until after this week?
I think Andrew Luck going out makes it the division of disgrace.
Let's give it the division of disgrace.
Okay, from now on it will be referred to as the AFC disgrace. Excellent news.
Yes.
Pleased with that one. For San Francisco, there was some positive news, then negative news again earlier today, as it looked like the insider line that Patrick Willis and Anthony Davis were both going to return next year. Anthony Davis, 26-year-old right tackle, played at Pro Bowl level the last couple of years, fantastic player, had concussion issues, decided to quote-unquote retire, but always said there was a chance he'd come back. Patrick Willis did retire with his turf toe. It was suggested he might come back next year. Anthony Davis looks like a near definite. Patrick Willis has since put the longest Instagram post I've ever seen in my life. It's like an essay with a lot of emojis in it. We've tweeted it from @Gridiron, of course, saying that basically he's not going to come back next year. Oh, and Gabbert starting again next week. Hooray. Do you have anything to add to any of that?
No, they're on bye. Move on.
Yeah, well, I said we're talking some bye week teams.
Get out of it.
And finally, the LA the LA vote. We found out that Disney CEO Bob Iger has been added to the Raiders and Chargers attempt to move a stadium into, not into Inglewood, that's where the Rams want to put it in, wherever it is the Chargers and Rams want to put it, a bit south of Inglewood, I think it is. Which suggests to me that actually I was initially dismissive of the Chargers and Raiders move. Both teams wanted a new stadium where they're currently based. And we know that the Chargers are obviously having problems with home crowds this season. But it's making me feel more and more like they're genuinely serious about moving to LA and doing it as a duo. Well, it's been announced that the return to Los Angeles, which is likely to happen in 2016, the vote's now been moved back to March. So They're leaving literally about 5 months for a team to move. It's a bit of a shocker. But
it is a bit of a shocker, but are they trying to wait and see how bad San Diego are before they decide exactly to move them? Because losing against Chicago was a horrendous result, and 2-7, why would any San Diego fans want to come back?
But the problem is, and we'll get onto the Raiders when we preview their game, but the Chargers, fine, get out of the city. The fans clearly don't seem to want you there anymore. They've become disoriented with the team, with everything else there. Disenfranchised, even not disoriented, although maybe they have. Maybe they've been trying to get to the stadium and not being able to find it.
Are you saying San Diego wants to be disenfranchised?
Well done, sir. Well done. 5 points to Gryffindor. But the Raiders have got really good recently. I'd much rather they built... You're a Hufflepuff.
And I'm definitely Ravenclaw. You're Hufflepuff. If anyone's Hufflepuff, it's you.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Sarah wants to be Hufflepuff. Weirdo.
That explains a lot, mate.
But the Raiders... why she'd pick me. The Raiders have looked really good this year, and I'd much rather, particularly as a fan of the other team in the Bay Area, they stay in the Bay Area and got a new stadium. I just don't know if it's going to happen.
But they're such a Bay Area side. You can't.
It's disappointing.
Yeah, stay in the Bay.
Stay in the Bay.
Hashtag.
Come and share the stadium in Santa Clara. It's terrible, but come and share it with us. The pitch doesn't work, but come and share it with us. We get great Wi-Fi.
It's miles away, but come and share it with us. Yeah, it's not really in the Bay Area, but come and share it with us.
It is in the Bay Area.
Way-ish.
But you can get a train directly to Oakland from there.
It just takes four hours.
It didn't take, it took about 45 minutes.
45 minutes?
We took the train directly to Oakland to go and watch the Oakland A's, and it did take about 45 minutes.
You can get to Colchester in 45 minutes, and that's on a slow train.
I would not know that you could get to Colchester in 45 minutes. You're a disgrace. Right, let's move on.
It's on the way to Norwich. Of course I know that.
Yeah, fine. Okay. We haven't even started talking about the games this weekend yet, and we're already almost halfway through the podcast. So let's hook up now with the 8-0 Carolina Panthers, a team who have really surprised everyone this year, much more so than any other team. I think the Bengals people knew they had the potential to be a good team, and yes, we're surprised that they're undefeated. But the Panthers, a lot of people looked at the lack of weapons there, a lot of people looked at the lack of investment on the offensive line, believing that to be an issue, and actually that unit's been very strong this year, and the defense has been phenomenal. And the Panthers, what they're doing there is quite literally unbelievable. If I told you at the start of the season we're going to get to week 9 and the Panthers are going to be 8-0, I genuinely think you wouldn't have believed me.
I still don't really believe you. They've been really, Cam's been amazing. The defense has been unreal. The way that the wide receivers have stepped up, Jonathan Stewart's been looking all right. They've been fantastic, everyone. The offensive line, which had such a big problem in keeping Cam from being hit last year, has really come to the fore, and I'm so impressed with them. So impressed.
And of course, most importantly, the fantastic Cam Newton has been unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, the dual threat with him through the air, with that gun of an arm, which has now found a touch, it's found poise, but also his running ability, either over the top, over the pack, as it were, or on the outside as well. He's a really, really good player. He's a combination of what Kaepernick was 2 or 3 years ago and kind of what, you know, Big Ben can do
I think that's a really good comparison, is Big Ben. But anyway, let's move on and get on the line to Charlotte and speak with our mystery player. So the chat we did get to have was with Josh Norman from the Carolina Panthers. Absolutely delighted that he got to join us. And certainly, this was the Panthers. I have to give them a huge, huge thank you, because, normally with these player interviews, you get 8-10 minutes. We were on the phone with Josh for over 20 minutes, and we're just going to put it in here in full. Really, really great talking to him. Simon Clancy joins me on the line as well, because he's doing a piece on Coastal and on small schools, this team that, Josh played for. And before we got into kind of the official interview, Simon jumped straight in with the first question, and it was really good fun, so I've left that in as well, and all the great stuff he talks about here, especially after we've just had Remembrance Weekend, Remembrance Day, taught all his stuff about his grandfather. Just a really great conversation, really enjoyed this. I hope you enjoy it as much as we do. So let's kick off with Clancy introducing himself to Josh Norman.
Hey Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, how about you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Listen, first question, how's Delta?
He's doing good, man. Big Hoss doing good. I was going up there and check him out today, but He's good.
Are you allowed to ride him in the season?
Yeah, man.
Because over here, we got if we have soccer players, they're not normally allowed to ride motorbikes or go skiing or do anything dangerous just in case they break their leg. So I wondered if the coaches were like, you can't ride that horse in case you break your leg or...
So you think riding horses are dangerous?
Hey, listen, I grew up, my dad worked with racehorses all his life, so I grew up around horses, and yeah, so I've seen a few nasty falls, so I was just making sure you were all right.
Oh yeah, that was, I was good.
I mean, it kind of depends how good you are on the horse, doesn't it, Josh? And it sounds like Simon's not as good as you, so...
yeah, you gotta be good, you gotta be a rider, man, you gotta ride all your life, so speak in a way to where... You know what you're doing.
Look,
you're not
get hurt. Our show earlier this week was called Halfway to Perfection. We have a record 3 teams at 8-0 this year. So I think, but it's fair to say after winning the division with a losing record last season, the Panthers have been the real delight, the real surprise for people today. And I'm glad to say joining us on the line, as you've just heard, is cornerback Josh Norman, having a hell of a season himself. First of all, before we get into it, Josh, how are preparations coming on for the Titans this weekend? And Marcus Mariota, who looked so impressive against the Saints last weekend.
No, yeah, the preparation is going smooth, man, as well as everything else. It's just concentrating on what the coaches want from us and just trying to do that, you know, game plan to the best of, you know, our abilities and understand what they like to do in certain formation situations.
I mean, how would you have reacted if someone had told you at the start of the season that going into this game, you guys would be sitting at the top of the NFC with a perfect record, looking like it was going to be home field in the playoffs? Yeah, it must be beyond the wildest dreams.
I mean, it was no surprise. I think, you know, the guys here, we worked our way to the point where, you know, we had a stupid, crazy high work rate. Guys came in here and wanted to learn and wanted to, you know more of what's going on. And once we got that, you know, down pat, because we was on the road last season, and, you know, just carrying on from last season and then this season.
And I think... Through that period, I mean, we compare it with the other teams in the same situation. There have been some really tight games in there. I think about the overtime win over the Colts, the fourth quarter win in Seattle. You said, you know, you were on a roll at the end of last year, but what's been the difference in this team, meaning that you're coming out on top in those big spots?
Well, just perseverance and just that dog-like mentality, man. Just that blue-collar work ethic and just fighting all the way through, man, to the end of the whistle. They keep pounding my toe that we, you know, like to say, and everything, we just keep pounding through our, you know, any situation, adversity comes or strikes, you just push through, man.
We got into a bit of a bar debate after the last Wembley game. We were watching the late games last weekend, and we got into a bit of a conversation about the most underrated head coach in the league. And after a few beers and it all shook out, I think we settled on Ron Rivera. Do you think he's been getting the acclaim he deserves for getting your team into this position?
Well, I don't think so. I think they look at him more so as a defensive-minded head coach, but overall, which he is a defensive-minded coach, but at the same time, he's a head coach, and knowing that, I think his justice is due for what he is and what he, as a head coach, and how he brings that, you know, to his teammates, or not teammates, but into his players. You know, his, you know, montage and how he brings his overall personality and himself to the players, and we like it, man. We like it.
I mean, he's not really an open book necessarily with the media, but say, take a situation like against the Colts where you've got to go into overtime and you've got to beat them. What's he saying to his players in that situation?
Well, just keep pounding, keep fighting through, keep striving to, you know, do your job and do it to the best of your ability and just keep going and fighting through the, you know, the whistle, and let everything else take care of itself.
Well, I think, talking about yourself, Josh, if you asked most people which players had made the biggest stride since the start of the 2013 season, I think Josh Norman is a name that comes very high, if not top, of people's lists. You weren't starting at the start of last year, having been benched in 2013. You came back for that Week 5 game against the Bears and not lost your place in the team since. What's elevated you over that last 12 months or so? What's changed for you in the last year?
Well, you know, God's really truly been blessing me, man. He really has been, and I just have to be, you know, a servant to listen to his will and knowing that if this wasn't for me, then it wasn't. And then if it was for me, just give me strength and the ability to push through all obstacles and, you know, anything that came up that was discerning. And I think once I got that into my mindset And I just pushed through all of the adversity. I struck, and he started to open those doors. And once I got on the field, I was able to play. Once I was able to play, you know, people really saw what, you know, we had. And we were just working towards, you know, our talent level because, you know, you can always, you know, God gave us talent. But if you don't work at, you know, that rate of which your talent and you were blessed with, then, you know, you're doing yourself a disservice. So that's why I was just put my head down and work. When I got my chance, I made the best of it.
I mean, I think it's fair to say talent is a key word because I think people loved your physical ability coming out of Coastal, and there was a lot of talk of scheme fit, whether you're playing to your own strength or playing within the plays themselves. What in terms of your play in the NFL and fitting with the team and what the work you've done with Steve Wilks has done to elevate your play from just being talented to kind of being dominant on that side of the ball?
Oh, yeah, because Steve Wilks, he helped me in a lot of ways. Just to, you know, his coaching style is so much different than what I've ever had. How he brings it out of you and how he, you know, demands that, you know, picture-perfect technician, you know, just being one of those guys and just, you know, coaching us in a way where, you know, it teaches our weapons for a DB, his eyes, feet, hips, and hands. And those weapons, every play, you're going to, you know, find yourself coming back to the eyes, feet, hips, and hands. And if you can, you know, do something where you can win in that down, it's going to take, you know, those four things to be able to win that down. And he's been stressing that and working with us all the way through. And just knowing that he's there and you can ask him any questions. Therefore, it's nothing that I can take away from that as him being a, you know, great position coach.
Josh, coming out of high school, you didn't get any offers from Division I schools, and you said yourself that you sort of fell through the cracks a little bit. Does playing at a school like Coastal give you and what happened with you in terms of not getting any offers? Does that give you a bit of a chip on your shoulder about trying to be your best in every single game because you know that you're not playing for Alabama on national television or you're not playing for Florida State in a New Year's Day bowl game? You have to give everything every single game.
Oh, yeah, man. It was like a red or blue pill for me. It was like, you know, red pill, I knew if I was going to stay here, I was going to have to be here the whole entire time. And, you know, I couldn't, you know, I couldn't let up. I couldn't have a bad game, man. And I had to do some stuff out of the ordinary to be, you know, caught on TV or caught on, you know, just something to where somebody's radar, they know that this is a big-time guy down here that's making noise because, you know, you see the Division I-A schools, the Georgias and the Clemsons and all those guys, they get on TV every week. So you know those schools. You know what they bring. And so for Red Pill with me, it was like I knew I was going to have to do things twice as extra hard. And the blue pill was going to be, you know, I can go to Georgia or Clemson and places like that and walk on. Yeah, I played first year and came back, got a scholarship and, you know, rode on out to the sunset and went first round. Easy. But who wants anything in life when it's, you know, worth, you know, giving it to you? So I was just like, hey, I might as well just go ahead and take this off as a red pill. I knew it was going to be a hard road, but at the end of the day, I knew something was going to pay off in the end. And, well, hey, forget me. I'm working in now.
Did you find the transition from small school to the NFL difficult? I know that Coach Wilkes said that, you know, tried to tell you to sort of almost take every play. You don't have to make a big play every play. More allow the game to come to you, and you'll end up making the plays that you made with the Chanticleers. Was that a difficult transition for you?
Yeah, because I was making every play out there in Coastal. I mean, it really was. I mean, I wasn't really there. Depending on too many people, I was just trying to do it everything, man. And got here, it was kind of like a big shocker to me because I was trying to make every play for a while, and it was just one of those things where I had to realize that, you know, people have jobs too, and do their jobs, you got to do it to the best of their abilities and understand that and help them out as much as I can. But just knowing in my position, just do my job and let the plays come to me. If I'm in a great position, they'll come, and once I am, capitalize on them. And, you know, I've been doing that, man. Maybe one time, maybe I got out of a position to make a play here and there, but it was nothing like Coastal Carolina, though. So,
Champ Bailey said that you're the best cornerback in the NFL at the moment. Is he right?
Who?
Champ Bailey said that you're the best. Best corner in the NFL right now. Is he right?
Well, he wrong. I think if Champ, you know, if Champ dubbed that, then I guess he's very credible. I mean, the man played 15-plus years in the league. Well, I don't know, God, I mean, I know how many interceptions he had and Pro Bowls out of this world. I think he's probably leading cornerbacks in, like, the entire, like, NFL history and the most Pro Bowls ever selected by a cornerback. So the guy must know what he's talking
about. it must really help playing on that defense, though, because I look at the all the levels of that defense, the linebacking core with Keekley and Davis and Shaq Thompson coming in there and playing at such a level. K1 Short is playing lights out on that line. You guys in the backfield seem to be making plays. It must be a great unit to be around every day and be working with when you're in this situation.
It's a fun unit to be around every day, man. Like, your job, when you come here, sometimes, like, I can remember years back, man, it was just a tough, tough experience coming to work every day, man. It was just so hard getting out of bed. So hard to try to come in and want to, you know, come up here and spend 12 hours. It was. It was grueling. But now as I come here, I'm excited when I wake up, get ready to go to work. I am. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be a part of something that's very special. And I can't say I ever did that before within my career, that I was excited to be somewhere and be a part of a group that's, you know, really care about each other. And this is a group that does, and it's kind of crazy in a way, but it's also refreshing. You know, it's very refreshing, and everything is, you know, our arrow is pointing up.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And I think you talk about arrow pointing up, and I ask about that defensive side of the ball, but when I mentioned players who have elevated in the last year, I said you're the top of people's list. I imagine that your quarterback is a guy who's quite near the top of people's list, if not also in and around the same area. People talking about him as being the only player challenging Brady as MVP. What's Cam like in the locker room? What's it like to face against him in training, and how important is he to you guys' success this year?
I think Cam is like a, he's a very energetic personality of a guy. He is very outgoing. He wears his, you know, sleeves on his sleeve. He's a huge competitor, man. Huge competitor. He never allows to lose.
Well, there was that moment in preseason where the two of you had that bit of fire between you, that bit of competitiveness. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, I love that. I love to see that there's, and I certainly know your coaches came out and said the same. So is he that fired up day in, day out, week in, week out, that you guys do spar in that way? Not literally fighting, but, you know, on the field.
Sure is. Sure is, man. The dude is so competitive, man. I'm on the field, and is a scout team quarterback. And I'm facing another wide receiver. He talking on the sideline like, I bet you couldn't do that to me if I lined up in front of you. Like, he was going to be a wide receiver, you know? And I'm like, well, why don't you come over here and put on this jersey then? Why don't you come over here and do that? And that's the type of, you know, that's the kind of competitiveness he has in himself to try to go against, you know, guys like me and guys, you know, that he sees that competitive fire that he can get back. I think it feeds him in a way to where he got to have that. Like, I know it feeds me. I got to have that in order, like, to, like, live and survive in this, like, world of NFL that we play in. I got to have that. That fuels me. But for him, I can see the same thing goes with him. I mean, because he don't want to lose at no ends, no cause, no means. He'll try to win it everywhere.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Look, there's two final things I want to ask you about before we sign off. And thank you so much. You've given us loads of time, so we do really appreciate it. First of all, you've been in the news, obviously, this past week for the fine you've received from the NFL, $5,000, mm-hmm. for wearing the message Proud Brave on your cleats. You know, there's a debate over whether they have to enforce these rules, etc. But for the listeners who haven't heard about this, just tell us the story behind Proud Brave and the reason you wore those this weekend.
Well, you know, I wore them just to salute the troops, man, really, because they protect our you know, the United States in such a big way. And it's crazy and it's unbelievable how they give their lives up so we can live in freedom and in peace there. If somebody lay down their life for us, sacrifice greater than themselves for others, I mean, there's no bigger message than that.
And certainly,
the proud and the brave. Like, my own grandfather, he was a surgeon in the Korean War, and when they had fought over there, his company, you know, he saw his team, well, his whole company blow up in front of him. So it was like he was the only guy that, you know, left out of the company when he was the gunner. And it was kind of crazy he saw that, because when he was the only one survived, like, he could have been killed. So if that was the case, his whole company and him gone, then, hey, we wouldn't have been here today, so to speak, because, you know, he had my father and then my dad had me. And if it wasn't no Ed, it wasn't no Josh, so...
Hey, I think what I'd say is that sounds like $5,000 well spent to me. We started.
Yeah, it was, man. Proud and brave.
We started off our chat talking about the record overall. The Packers have looked fallible the last couple of weeks. You're in pole position for a home run in the playoffs. And just for you, as a Carolina lad, as a college grad in the state, playing in Charlotte, how key and special to you will it be playing those games in Charlotte? And also, how key is it for the team that people are going to have to come and beat you in your house, potentially?
It's big. It's big time, man. If you got to come here, our fans are just, they rabid. They're loud. I mean, they're on our back. Defense is loud to play in here in Bank of America Stadium. And come down here and play on this grass field in the backyard, this open bowl. Oh, my gosh. This is nothing like the feeling of playing here. And if you come here, you're going to know you're going to get hit in the mouth. That's first and foremost. You're going to play a physical style of play the whole four quarters. You're not going to give in, because if you do, we're going to take that as weakness, and we're going to take advantage of it. And so teams, I feel like they come here, they know what kind of game they're going to get themselves into. So you finesse, you might as well just scrap on some tape, because it's going to be one of those games. You're going to have to switch off something else. So.
Super.
That's kind of what you're going to face when you get here.
I love that. And I want to finish by asking about two goals. So let me set the scene for you. We're San Francisco. It's the Saturday night before the Super Bowl, end of season awards. What are the chances and the hopes for you that we hear the words Defensive Player of the Year, Josh Norman?
Oh, my gosh. That'd be everything I've worked for. Like, everything that I sacrificed from, back to when I was getting ready to play football and coming over into, you know, leaving from Greenwood to Coastal to come here and go through what I went through here. And then now playing and, you know, being over top of them all, man, it's just indescribable feeling. I don't know if I'll be able to contain myself because of how much I've been through and overcame and overcome just by, you know, outside of, you know, oppression, and then, you know, just God being with me through the whole time. It would be, like I said, indescribable feeling to the point where I couldn't put in words. I'd probably just break down at that moment.
Well, the fact is fingers crossed, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, you won't be there, because what are the chances you're not at the award because you're preparing for the Panthers' return to the Super Bowl after a 12-year absence?
Well, hey, that would be the ultimate goal. I mean, I know I have my individual goals, but the ultimate goal is to be in San Francisco. Bar none, hands down, is to be there and be in the Super Bowl 50. It gets no bigger than 50, man. It gets no bigger. I mean, when you look back over it all through the years, they're going to see number one and number 50. They want to know those two, you know, who were those two teams, kind of. And then everything else in between, they'll look through. But 50 and number one is the... They want to know who started it and who was at like a mark to where number 50. And if it continues to go to 100, they'll want to know who had 100. You know? So that's kind of where we at with that.
Josh, we're going to be out there in February, and we desperately hope that we get to see you out there too, and I'd love to shake your hand as a Super Bowl winner. So good luck to you for the Titans this weekend and for the rest of the season, and hopefully you achieve both of those dreams.
Me too, man. I tell you, I'll be super blessed if so.
Awesome, Josh. That was a really, really great chat to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm absolutely delighted that we got to speak with. He's having a phenomenal season, and he was a great interview. And yeah, that was really good fun. So delighted for the Panthers. Really glad of the position they're in. And interestingly, Don Shula this week, who actually is a man we're trying to get on the podcast at some point, in the not too distant future. I have a phone number for Don Shula. We will be doing our best to get him on in the not too distant future. But he said that he'd love to see the Panthers go the distance and become the second undefeated team of all time. He didn't say the same about the Bengals, he didn't say the same about the Patriots, but he said he'd love to see the Panthers go all the way. So I thought that was fascinating, that the man himself is saying that very thing. Shall we talk about the game in question, though?
Yeah, do it.
We'll start off with the Carolina side of the ball. They're 8-0, travelling to the 2-6 Tennessee Titans. Tennessee desperate to claw their way out of the basement of the AFC South. No injury reports for Carolina at all. They look like they're at full strength across the backfield and across the offense. And overall, I mean, I don't think there's a huge amount to say about this game. I think that they just match up brilliantly against the Titans in all areas. I think that Marcus Mariota looked very, very good last week, but he's going to have a much tougher job up against the Panthers' backfield. If they can get pass rush up the middle, which is the Titans' line has been good and has been good all year. Carolina just look good at every phase. They look good at every level. Really, really impressed with them. And I expect them to go to Tennessee and get a win.
Yeah, me too. I can't really look past anything other than that. The Tennessee Titans, their defense is it's a little bipolar. Sometimes, some weeks it's great and some weeks it's not. And against a Carolina defense and the way and how dominant they've been against everyone, my only thought could be a Panthers win.
Now, obviously, we've touched on the Panthers quite a lot already at this point. The fact is that they have had a few tight games this year. In the fourth quarter this year, they're only 55-54 against opposition. They've won games like the 29-26 overtime win against the Colts. Green Bay, they won again by the single score, 37-29. They've had some of those seriously tight games this year. And for the Titans, I mean, we did put it out, gridironpod@gmail.com, and we've had a couple of emails in, and one of them has come in from Adam Foxcroft, regular tweeter to the show. We ask for your questions, your thoughts, your abuse, because we welcome abuse, and your bold predictions or nonsense. And he's given us a combination of those different things. He asked, who is Warren Moon?
Who?
Good. If you don't know that in joke, just please don't worry about it. We all are aware that he is a two-time Hall of Fame quarterback and an absolute legend and friend of the show. In terms of abuse, he said that this is, listen to this, only an absolute Neanderthal dredged up from the sewer puts sweet corn in a chili con carne. Come on, man, you'll be putting pineapple on pizza next.
You love pineapple on pizza.
I'm not actually a big fan of pineapple on pizza, but I don't mind it. I'll eat it. I'm not one of these people who thinks it's disgraceful, but I just all meats I'm fine with. But this is the big thing. He said he thinks the Titans can win the AFC South if they beat Carolina on Sunday, and he thinks that because the Panthers have been in close games, the Titans' weapons are looking good, Dorial Green-Beckham's stepping up as he has been in the last 2 weeks, and he had a big, big game last week. We saw Delanie Walker have a big game. We saw Mariota have a timeless game, a record-breaking game for a rookie. He thinks the Titans are going to win. Hashtag bold prediction. Hashtag let's get hysterical, hysterical. I want to get hysterical. I played the full version. I didn't mean to.
Well, thanks for that, mate. It got me thinking, though. Someone I know has pineapple on their burger.
Oh, a pineapple on a certain type of burger, like a chicken burger for a Hawaiian burger.
No.
Like jalapenos.
A proper beef burger with pineapple.
Never on beef.
If anyone else has that, at Gridironus.
That's a disgrace. Right, let's power through the rest of these games then.
Do you mean it's the AFC disgrace?
Because these 6 o'clock games are not a particularly attractive bunch, I have to say. There's a couple of intriguing games, but only intriguing, not phenomenal games. Let's start off with the battle in the NFC North. Your Green Bay Packers on a two-game slide taking on the Detroit Lions. The Lions, obviously, at 1-7, coming off their bye week, having lost so spectacularly in London. Calvin Johnson is expected to play after he exited the Wembley game with a rolled ankle. Mike McCarthy announced today that James Starks is the number one running back over Fat Eddie Lacy coming into this week. He's still planning it to be a 1-2 punch, but he has named it. And that's what he said in his press conference. Fat Eddie Lacy, you're out, mate.
Will he forever now be known as Fat Eddie?
Well, him and Fat David Cobb are kind of the two of them. David Cobb's come back from this long-term injury. I don't know if you've seen any training videos. The man is chubby.
I have not seen any.
He's lucky that he is on the same team as the human bowling ball, because if he wasn't on the same team as Mike Tolbert, he would not get away with looking as big as he does. They're expecting David Cobb, even though they think he can take the number one job in Tennessee. We've talked too much about the Titans now. They think he's going to take a couple of weeks to get back to fitness. Understandably so, Tubby.
They all need to meet Fat Ronaldo. Be amazing.
So the Packers, I mean, are things falling apart in Green Bay? We saw them having a ruck on the sideline. Julius Peppers and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix having out before BJ Raji got involved as well. Your mate BJ. It seems to be imploding a little bit in Green Bay. Is this the perfect game for your Packers to bounce back and get back into the swing of things?
Utterly so. Detroit haven't won in Green Bay in 20 years.
I think it's 23 consecutive losses there.
There we go. 23 consecutive losses in Green Bay, which is incredible. The Lions, okay, they'll be slightly fresher than Green Bay, but these teams are used to having a week off or coming back from the bye. Green Bay need this game against the Lions. They need it so badly because of that little fracas. I think all of that will be swept under the carpet. But Aaron Rodgers needs a porous defense to be able to get his mojo back. We saw a little bit of it in garbage time last week. But I think with James Starks now considered as the one punch over Fat Eddie. I've picked the Packers, but again, I'm slightly worried about it. It's around the 11 point mark, which is the kind of what the bookies are saying at the moment anyway. So I reckon a touchdown and a field goal difference. The Lions will cause a few problems with Calvin Johnson. But as we know, Matt Stafford sucks. So
you want my money? I think the Packers bounce back, full-on blowout this week. They win by 20-plus points.
Yes!
New Orleans in Washington. Now, the reason I put this as the second game is because it's kind of sneakily got playoff implications. New Orleans lost, obviously, last week against the Titans, having gone on a fantastic run before that. They've won three of their last four to move back up to 4-5. Of course, they're not in the NFC South race. We know that the Panthers are dominating that at the moment with the faltering Falcons in second. But they do have a chance of the wild card, whereas Washington aren't that far back in the NFC East race. And with the Cowboys still looking terrible, with the Giants looking undecided, with the Eagles a roller coaster of a team, they beat the Saints today, then they're kind of right back in it Sunday.
What you've got is a Washington defense that, apart from maybe a quarter and a half against New England, had a really good game against the Patriots. And they're going up against the Saints offense, which is on fire at the moment, especially through the air. The rushing is not going great. Mark Ingram,
and the Washington defense particularly good when rushing.
Exactly. So you've got that, and actually the New Orleans Saints rushing defense is not too bad, and Washington aren't getting too much going on rush at the moment anyway. But the New Orleans Saints passing defense is terrible. But Washington, conversely, can't get much going at all on passing.
New Orleans, just to give you their defensive stats, they are amongst the league's worst, giving up nearly 30 points a game and 415 yards allowed per game. Despite the fact they've got the three-game winning streak, don't forget that included the 52-49 victory over the Giants. And whilst I don't think this is going to be another 100-point game, don't be surprised if this game comes out at 70-plus points, because these are two not very good secondaries up against two pretty good passing offenses, actually. Kirk Cousins, after I 3 or 4 weeks ago shouted for him to be benched, has been marginally impressive recently. I've gone for a Washington win, actually. I thought I'd gone for a Saints win, but apparently I've gone for a Washington win. I'm going to stick with it because that's what I've pressed.
Well, I've gone for a Washington win as well, but I need to make up some games on you guys. So that's a live switch back to the Saints.
Have I gone for them? Yep, I went for Washington. Just double checking.
I've gone Saints.
I ticked it on my sheet and everything. Another game which looks Again, intriguing, more because Miami is such a... Miami came back off the bye and off the sacking of their coach. Dan Campbell won the first two games in such impressive fashion and then lost the last two in quite devastating fashion, travelling into Philadelphia, whose offence over the last couple of weeks finally looks like the offence, particularly as they did against the Cowboys last weekend, when they were getting all their snaps off within 15 seconds, where they got a huge number of plays off, where the offence was balanced brilliantly between run and pass, and Jordan Matthews finally got going. I like this game because I really think the Eagles are going to put up a good 35-40 points here and finally start to take some control in the East, and it's going to be a battle between them and the Giants the rest of the way, and I really like that.
I like that as well, especially with Dallas falling out of favour. I think that sort of a trail ahead, but I think that Dallas will lose this week. In this one, I think the Eagles will hurt the Dolphins. I think the Eagles are smarting. All right, they won last week, but I think they want to make a statement. This is how we play. This is what we're going to do. The Dolphins are not a good football team. Dan Campbell has not done or not continued to do what its first two games promised, and I think the Eagles will win by a good 20 points.
I think weight going down is a huge thing. Yeah, as well. We've said it a lot of times for the Dolphins, but after their slow start, DeMarco Murray and Ryan Matthews have made a potent combo the last few weeks, combined for 620 rushing yards and 6 touchdowns in the last 4 games, much better than the 179 and 2 scores they totaled weeks 1 through 4. So they've really got that going, and Miami's rush defense, even with Sue in there, has not been what we hoped it would be this year. I am taking the Eagles with a big win.
Ditto.
Fantastic. Now, a game we've weirdly had a huge amount of contact about. Maybe it's because of the LaMarcus Joyner thing. Maybe it's just because there are a lot of Bears fans in the UK. But Chicago Bears travel to the St. Louis Rams. Neil Dustin sends the bold prediction, which was no one will get injured sliding on the concrete at the Edward Jones Dome this week. Of course, that concrete around the outside has caused Reggie Bush's knee to blow out. He is suing the city of St. Louis, as we understand. And it also caused Kirk Cousins to slide into the wall and smash his shoulder. It might not be Alshon Jeffrey because he's out of training with a groin strain. But it very well could be, because if he's in the game, I bet he finds some way to get bloody injured.
Yeah, probably will. Whenever he's played Alshon Jeffrey, I think it's 4 times this season, the Bears have looked really good and he's had fantastic games. Up against the Rams passing defense, which isn't that great, you could see another big day for Jay Cutler. Against the Chargers on Monday, Jay Cutler threw for 345 yards. They finished on a season's best of 446 total yards. This is an offense that's starting to find its rhythm, finding its gear. Jeremy Langford looked pretty good as well.
I think my concern there, and Forte might be back this weekend, there's a real problem with John Fox being a bit sly with the injury report. But even with Forte back, even with Langford looking very good last week, this Rams defense is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, pretty good, yeah.
It was the first time Chicago had gone over 100 in the last 5 games with their 109 rushing yards. Second most of the season, as you said. My problem here is that I don't see the Bears offense going unless Alshon Jeffrey's in there, and it's looking like he might not be. I have taken the Rams at home. What about yourself?
Yeah, taking the Rams. I didn't know that Jeffrey might be out, so yeah, definitely the Rams. Even without, I never go Bears.
Tenniel has tweeted us a hashtag bold prediction saying Sanu might throw for more yards than Foles this week, and this is the other problem. Is that the you can beat the Bears secondary. It's not very good. But Foles is the first player since 2008 to go 7 straight games with at least 20 pass attempts, but less than 200 passing yards. It's not a good passing offense. It's all about the amazing Todd Gurley. It's all about Tavon Austin on gadget plays when they're faking it to Todd Gurley. If the Bears can flood the box a little bit, maybe they can get going there. But I imagine this game being gritty. I imagine Gurley getting a lot of yards and probably a couple of scores, and that's how it's going to happen.
Yeah, me the same. I've gone Rams.
Tony also tweeted us asking, where's Welker's back in this game? That's something that happened after our show finished recording last week. He asked us saying, why are doctors happy to advise Dennis Pitta to stop playing when they're happy to allow Wes Welker to? Surely the brain is worse. Now, Dennis Pitta has gone on season-ending IR, I believe, with a foot injury. I need to double-check that, potentially. But Wes Welker. I am really concerned. Wes Welker is a guy, I think he might be, he's in the conversation as the best slot receiver of all time. He's in that top two or three conversation. What he did when he was at the Patriots was phenomenal. He was on two phenomenal offenses, including the 2007 Patriots and the 2013 Broncos, record-breaking offenses. But he's never been a guy to shy away from challenges over the middle. One of the reasons he's so good is because he makes those slant routes, he makes those cutting in routes, and he's willing to take contact from safeties and contact from linebackers, and he's taken a lot of hits in his career, and he was forced to retire because of the concussion, and I really, really am concerned about it. I'm going to spend this whole game wincing any time anyone goes anywhere near him.
Yeah, me too. The whole brain concussion thing, the NFL has tried to take it far more seriously, but you've got to question letting a guy who has had problems with this come back into the game. Also, what are the Rams doing signing... Okay, he is a great slot receiver, but what are they doing signing a guy with that, potentially that issue?
It's an odd one. It really seems bizarre to me. I mean, we know that Stedman Bailey was going to be out for the season, and there aren't a huge amount of options out there. But, yeah, Wes Welker seems like an odd one to me.
Terrell Owens is still available.
As he likes to tell everyone at every possible opportunity. Go out and watch his football life. It's phenomenal.
It is phenomenal, yeah.
The last of the early games, Cleveland Browns at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Jake Viney tweeted us saying, any other QBs milk injuries as much as Big Ben? Looks like he could be playing on Sunday. And it is true. He's got this interesting thing, Big Ben. He's one of the toughest players in the league. He often plays through injuries, but he loves telling you he's playing through injuries. He regularly makes a point of saying, guys, through injuries, I'm injured. I'm going to be... This is tough. So, yeah.
I think it might be a bit of subterfuge, as it were. I think there's no chance that he'll play. The way that he was carried off, Jarvis Landry, they're talking about Jarvis Landry playing. No, Landry Jones.
yes, you did it. It was...
Landry Jones is playing. Cam Hayward, defensive guy for the Steelers, has said, we've got to rally round Landry Jones. Yes, that's him. Got to rally round him.
Defensive end as well, not defensive guy. That's not a position in the NFL.
Well, you know. the Browns haven't won in Pittsburgh since 2003. That's 12 straight games. I'm going the Steelers.
Yeah, I'm taking the Steelers as well. I think this is a big D'Angelo Williams game, even though the Browns have one of the better rushing defenses. It looks like McCown is going to come in if he's fit enough to play. The man,
Mike Pettine, sucks.
Has decided that that's going to be the way that they play things. As it stands, I mean, Pittsburgh 5-4, preparing to start Jones. They go to a bye week next week. They win. I mean, he was good when he played. 4 of 6 for 79 in his first game, 16 of 29 for 209. And that's more than Nick Foles has been throwing for. You know, he looks like an okay, competent backup, which is not what he looked like in preseason at all. If you can get Antonio Brown into this game, they're going to have no problem whatsoever. They move to 6-4. That, you know, they're pretty much locking up that fifth seed, particularly when Big Ben comes back as well. And if D'Angelo Williams can stay productive, I got D'Angelo Williams in an amazing trade today in fantasy. I know no one likes to hear about fantasy, but I was really pleased, and I think he's going to carry me to a championship.
Is that any of the leagues that I'm involved in?
No, it's not.
Good.
No, it's not.
Then I don't care either.
We had an interesting email from a Paul Woolridge. Woolridge. Yeah, Woolridge. There's an extra D in there. It's a long email, so I won't go into it in full. And I think it's something that's probably something for us to do in the off-season. Maybe we'll do something in the off-season about maligned franchises. Franchises we don't talk about as much and how they can turn their time around, maybe get some former and current players on, etc. How would you feel about that, Ollie?
Yeah, sounds good.
But he says, greetings, I'm a relatively new follower of the NFL and even more recent follower of your podcast. I've only been following the NFL the last 2 years and decided to support a team to make it more enjoyable. Now, I'm defiantly not a glory hunter, unlike Ollie. He doesn't say that. And wanted a team with a history, strong characteristics, and being from the black country, I like the idea of a maligned industrial city whose river was so polluted it caught fire. So I'm now a Browns fan.
oh, dear.
He says, I know we're abysmal. I've learned that quickly. But firstly, he asked us not to snigger every time we mention Cleveland's finest. We kind of both just did that. Sorry. We don't do it too much. He says, I may only be two seasons to my Browns fandom, but I already feel like I'm in an abusive relationship. And then he asks a series of questions to us of what we think of the team, what we think of how they can improve, do we think how much Mike Pettine's to blame, etc., etc. So there's some real in-depth stuff in there he wants to ask about. And I think, honestly, from the strength of the email, and it's a great email, we could almost do a whole show on it. So I think we save it for the off season and we do something on franchises which we don't talk about as much.
I think that's a great idea.
Fantastic. It's a guy called Paul Waldridge. Thank you very much for your email. He also said he's invested in a new Browns jersey. He said he chickened out of choosing a name and a number. Can you get them with just nothing on the back?
I don't think I've ever seen one.
Well, because he'd end up getting, you know...
Andrew Hawkins.
Yeah. see, we're not meant to snake. He said that specifically.
Oh, right, sorry.
But get Jim Brown's name on there or something like that. Get a classic player on there. Don't try and get a current player because you don't know how long they're going to be on the team for. Joe Hayden is probably the one I would choose from the current squad, but I don't know what his contract situation is like. That's just come off the top of my head. Again, talked a lot about the Browns and the Titans on this podcast. Sorry about that.
And we've done what you said we don't do enough of during that email.
What, talking about terrible teams?
Yeah.
A couple more of the... I said that was the last of the early games. It wasn't. There are two more early games. I'm sure people will have noticed that. Dallas Cowboys at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we've had a hilarious incident today involving one Mr. Dez Bryant. His frustrations boiled over during a heated verbal exchange with a local reporter. Bryant told the reporter that how he was upset that his name had appeared in some articles. His name had appeared in some tweets where it's portrayed in inaccurate fashion. He said, until they stopped disrespecting the team, and I'm going to time code this before I say it because I know I'm going to have to beep it out. He said, I'm tired of people disrespecting the team. I don't give a motherfucking sick. Bryant yelled at this reporter. Incredible scenes. Apparently some audio here.
How about y'all fix this, bitch? How about you fix it, bitch? You talking to us, you talking to the wrong people. You talking to the wrong people. Well, I'll make sure I put it out then. So y'all not gonna say nothing. I'm gonna make sure y'all go off street and I'm gonna post that on Twitter. And then I'm gonna let them know why I do this. Why I do this. I'm gonna let it be known why I do it. They dirty, all of them. And especially you.
Wow. Wow. So we didn't hear the specific audio there that I was mentioning, but we certainly heard plenty of audio, and that's going to take a little bit of editing for me. But so Dez not happy. The problem is, Dez, is that your team's 2-6, and I don't know about you, but with the way James Winston's played the last few weeks, and with still the lack of the lack of Romo in that backfield, I've gone for Tampa Bay this weekend.
I've gone the Bucks because...
It's probably a terrible decision. Lovie Smith will do something stupid and lose this game. That's what's actually probably going to happen.
But, it's most likely to happen.
if I could bet on that, I don't know if that's something you can bet on, but if I could, I think I would bet on that. But they can run the ball, Dallas. McFadden's look good. But Tampa Bay have Gerald McCoy. They're not terrible in that part of the field. They're not great in the backfield. I don't see their passing offense getting going. Winston's been impressive recently. I see this as a Bucks win.
Yeah, me too. Doug Martin, Charles Sims are looking okay. All right, both of them fumbled last week, but you'd expect them to bounce back from that this week. Dallas Cowboys haven't looked great against the rush. Their secondary isn't good either. Sean Lee has to be fit. And he often goes down during every game, actually, with an injury. I've gone the Buccaneers as well.
And the thing is, for me, the other big part is Sean Lee. He's so huge. This defense has always been weaker whenever he's out of there. Byron Jones is going to be back this weekend. But, all in all, I just think that this incredibly talent-rich Cowboys team just aren't quite there yet, and it's about next season now.
What's the last game?
Jags at Ravens!
Yeah!
Dennis Pitta heading to season-ending IR. Blake Bortles said before this game he believes the Jags are just a small step away from turning these tight defeats into wins. I've taken the Jags.
I've taken the Jags.
And I've taken the Jags because mainly I love the Jags. No other justifiable reason. The thing I wanted to talk about this game very quickly before we move on and go to the late games, because I don't think it's something we need to cover in any depth. These are both teams not going to the playoffs.
The Jags still could.
The Jags still could, absolutely. We said it about the AFC South. Let's let them win this weekend.
AFC disgrace.
Let's let them win this weekend before I get excited about that. But I wondered if you'd heard this, Ollie.
That's why men cry for women. That's why women. Can I slow down to honor a woman?
Mama, if you hear me, I'm sorry for the pain. And pass it to your love, I was in the...
Thoughts?
Is that Ray Rice?
It's Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis's new single, the little snippet that he's put out on Instagram today. It's dreadful. It's really, really bad. Why pick that bit of the song where he just kind of stops the song and then goes into the chorus? It's bizarre.
And I apologise to all women out there that I said that was Ray Rice.
Good. Yeah, I chose to ignore that.
You glossed over it.
No, yeah, I glossed over it. You've brought it back up.
Well, I needed to apologise. I was right. I've gone the Jags because that's a terrible song. Don't ever play that again, ever.
We did have one more tweet about the Cowboys game, if you want to do it quickly.
Go on.
Would you take a Super Bowl victory for your team if Greg Hardy had to be the MVP?
Defensive players are never the MVP. So
it's not true.
It's a stupid question. When was the last Seahawks
2 years ago.
Oh, yeah, okay, fine.
That random linebacker whose name I can't remember when it definitely should have been somebody much better, but anyway.
I'm not sure. It's a tough one. I dropped Greg Hardy from my one of my fantasy teams this week.
I saw you do that. I nearly picked him up because I'm shameless.
Well, I dropped him because I felt guilty for having him.
I think I'm actually going to say no. Do you know what? I dislike him that much that I would rather not win the Super Bowl.
I think he's
than have
bad.
Him on my team.
I think he's a bad person, and I don't want him anywhere near my franchise.
Okay, let's get on to the late games. We are running a little bit long on the show, but it's been a great show. Fantastic interview, all the previews. Don't forget that on Monday's show, we're going to be bringing you the live reaction of the person who wins the AFC and NFC Championship game tickets. Three great games in the late games this weekend, starting off with the Minnesota Vikings traveling to the Oakland Raiders. Teddy Bridgewater, it looks like he will play. The Vikings have the second best scoring defense in the league, but the Raiders, this is a great stat, have gone over 30 points in four games this season. That's more than they did in the previous four seasons.
Wow, that is a great stat.
This is a great offense. Well, it's a good offense and a half-decent defense. And this is a winnable game at home. And we wanted to say we had to take them seriously if they beat the Steelers last weekend. I still think we take them seriously because of the performance against the Steelers. Carr throwing that pick late was unfortunate, but if Carr can drive this team down the field, then the Oakland Raiders have a real chance here. And I have picked them at home against the Vikings.
Yeah, I've also picked them at home against the Vikings.
It's getting almost boring at this point.
Yeah, I really like Derek Carr. He's on pace for 4,000 yards, the third ever person to do that in Oakland's history, or the Raiders' history. The way he's finding and utilising Crabtree and Amari Cooper, who's looking an absolute stud. The only thing is, the Minnesota Vikings passing defence is fantastic.
Sixth ranked in the league.
Yeah, and that's not to be sniffed at. When you've got a clutch kicker, kick watching Blair Walsh, it could come down to that, because these are two very, very good teams. It pains me to say it about the Vikings. 108 yards per game AP is averaging. You'd expect him to do well on that again.
Yeah, I don't think the Raiders' run defense has been good this season, but AP is the best they've come up against. Averaging, as you say, 108 yards over the last 3 weeks, 4.8 yards a carry. If they get AP going and Bridgewater is back, I think the Vikings have a real chance here. This is a coin flip game, but certainly if Bridgewater's missing and Sean Hill's in, and if the Raiders can stop Peterson from going over 100 and contain him a bit, then the Raiders will win.
Yeah, Raiders will win. Stephon Diggs is looking really, really good, but I don't trust, even if Bridgewater is back, I don't really trust Bridgewater through the air anyway. I don't get what other people see in Bridgewater. I just don't get it.
I think he's the ultimate kind of, he's the modern game manager. He's the new Alex Smith. And when he has got the run game going and he's got his weapons all operating and doing well, we saw what Alex Smith can do when he was in London. He can do good things, and Bridgewater is similar to that. He's not going to necessarily lose you a game, but he's also not necessarily going to win you the game if he needs to. If you need to put it on his shoulders, I don't know if he's that guy.
Well, he did it last week.
Yeah, okay. Screw you. Chiefs at Broncos. We know that this is an interesting one. Chiefs off the bye, having played at Wembley. Tlaib has lost his appeal. He is suspended for the game for his poke in the eye. DeMarcus Ware, who's been so good this year, is going to be missing as well. Although Shaquille Barrett was brilliant when he stepped in for the one game that DeMarcus Ware missed previously. I think he had 3.5 sacks that day. Another 4 tackles lost. He had a ludicrous game.
All I remember was 18 fantasy points, and it was marvellous.
Yeah, and he's in my fantasy team this week. he is a So there is potential here with those players missing off that Broncos defense and the Chiefs playing as well as they did in London. Is there any part of you that's leaning towards taking the Chiefs, or will Denver, off the back of that loss, bounce back?
Off the back of Tlaib going out or not be, or being suspended, I'm going the Chiefs.
Wow.
I've got to make up my picks on Gridiron Predictor Game.
Don't forget, talking about those two players, Ware had a sack and Tlaib had an interception in the 31-24 Thursday Night Football Denver win. And they won that game because Jamaal Charles coughed the ball up. It was going to overtime.
Yeah, so I think...
It was a tight, tight game early this year, and that caused Kansas to spiral. And they're now on an upwards turn. That defense has been brilliant. We love that defense. They're all our best friends now after being in the locker room. I don't dislike the pick. I have taken the Broncos.
I've gone Chiefs. They've had that extra amount of time to rest and prepare. The Broncos coming off, I think, actually quite a damaging defeat psychologically out in Indianapolis. I'm going the Chiefs.
Fantastic. Right. Last few games then. Next one up is the New England Patriots travelling to the New York Giants. Chris tweets are saying, I have a sneaky feeling that the Giants are going to actually beat the Patriots. Then again, my last such feeling was when I thought Miami might do the same.
Me too.
Jason Pierre-Paul has come out and said this week that he isn't intimidated by the prospect of facing Tom Brady. We know that line is missing a huge number of players for the Patriots, as we talked about earlier in the week. They are 8-0. He said they're undefeated, but they have to come through here, said the big one-and-a-half-handed defensive end. And Tom Marshall did ask us, how the hell is a man with only 1.5 hands meant to get to Tom Brady in under 2 seconds? His release is so quick. Edelman could have a big game today. Tom Coughlin admitted that he regretted not signing Julian Edelman when they brought him in for a free agent visit before he signed in New England. But this is one of those games that the Giants just seem to have had the Patriots' number over recent years. They, of course, the Patriots have only had two, before this run they're on now, they've only had two previous 10-plus game winning streaks in their history. Both of them were ended by the New York Giants.
Oh.
Admittedly, both of those were in Super Bowls, but that has something to say for it. And they're actually 3-0 against them in that period because they also went to Foxborough and beat them. So the Giants' record over the Patriots is excellent. They beat them in Super Bowl 42. They beat them in Super Bowl 46. But in the year that the Patriots are going out and seeking revenge on everyone after what they went through in the offseason, I think this is the time when the Giants' record against the Patriots finally falls. And I have taken the New England Patriots.
I've gone the Patriots as well, but the Giants have really... they're no longer that much of a joke football team. I think the way that they lost to the Saints in that crazy game, that could have gone either way, but to come back against the Bucks and kind of win that, and sort of convincingly as well.
I think my problem
either way, it's got to be the Pats.
I think my problem is the Giants have this, they've got this bend, don't break defense. They get a lot of takeaways, they give up a lot of yardage, but with that style of defense, you're meant to give up a lot of yardage without giving up a lot of points. They've still been giving up a lot of points. Their red zone defense is terrible. Whilst I like the fact that they get a lot of picks, they force fumbles, they win the ball back and give Eli short field, then that's my concern, is that against a better offense than some of those they've faced, they won't be able to put it together. Two more games in really intriguing Sunday night football game as the Arizona Cardinals travel to the Seattle Seahawks off the back of the bye. Of course, the Cardinals at 6-2 have been one of the most impressive teams in the league this season, but have lost two very close games, probably ones they should have won. But when they entered CenturyLink Field last November, they were at 9-1 and owned a three-game advantage on Seattle. Seattle were coming off the back of their bye. They won that game 19-3, went on to win their last five games, including the second game over Arizona, and won the NFC West. Is this the week that Seattle are finally going to shake the cobwebs off and turn this team around, or do you think the problems they've had this year are genuine problems which will carry on?
The latter. I think the genuine problems will carry on. I've picked the Cardinals in this one. I like Carson Palmer. I like what they're doing with the offense. The defense, I mean, it really speaks for itself. They're fantastic to watch on defense. It could be a battle of two defenses. And I think the Arizona Cardinals will be able to flush out Russell Wilson enough to make it so that he can't continue to extend the plays throughout an entire game. And the Cardinals really are the only way to go. I've taken
the Seahawks just
off
the back of the bye at home in
but
division.
The Cardinals are off the back of a bye.
They are, but it's at home. It's in the division. I love the Cardinals. I've talked about it a huge amount on this show. But I think this is the game where they start to turn it around. And actually, when you look at the Seahawks schedule coming up beyond this game, they're at home the next two against the 49ers, against a very winnable game against the Steelers. It really pains me to say this, but I think the Seahawks are probably at this point, because of the ease of their next two games after this. If they win this weekend, they go into the playoffs. If they lose this weekend, I think they might miss out.
And you hope so.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Firmly crossed. Final game of the weekend is the Houston Texans at the Cincinnati Bengals on Monday Night Football. We are running incredibly long, so just tell me what you think of this game. I have gone for the Bengals to move to 9-0.
Massive win for the Bengals, 9-0.
Beautiful. I think we all know why with both of those. We also had some more tweets to do at the end of the show, but we genuinely have run out of time. So, at Gridiron on Twitter, if you enjoyed the interview, please tweet us. Please tweet the Panthers, thanking them for helping us get that player on. See what I'm doing there. Thank you to everyone that's got in touch with us at Gridiron as well, and gridiron-magazine.com. Keep checking out Sports Travel Tours at sportstraveltours.com. If you are a listener and a subscriber and you subscribed before November, keep your phone on Monday evening. We will be calling someone and telling them live on the show that they have won the trip to the AFC or NFC Championship game. Tickets, flights, accommodation, the lot. It's a wonderful bundle. It's a brilliant prize. And we'll announce it on the Monday/Tuesday morning show. Ollie, before we depart, is there anything you would like to add?
Yeah, I saw a 30 for 30, I think, documentary on ESPN on Pete Carroll.
Yeah, and your feeling on
and the
that?
Stanford situation.
Tight spiral balls.
Well, okay, you don't need to go into that, Ollie, but what did you think? Because you're not a big Pete Carroll fan.
Not a big Pete Carroll fan, I'm still not.
Fine. I thought he might win you over when you saw his behaviour and what he was like in college, but obviously not.
No, because he knew. And if you've seen it or you know what it's all about, he knew, and I dislike him for it.
Brilliant. Right. Always a pleasure, Ollie, to speak to you on the line, so I don't have to spend too much time with you in a sweaty little studio.
Yeah,
let's watch the games on Sunday. I don't know where yet. Otherwise, thank you very much, everyone, for getting in touch, enjoying the games, enjoying listening to us. All the love we got for the LaMarcus Joyner stuff. If you want to suggest any recipes that we can try out and bring into studio, please do that as well. We'll come up with a witty name and some music for that feature as well. Thank you very much for listening. This has been the Gridiron Show in association with Sports Travel Tours. We love you all. Very good.
Hello, you're listening to the Horse Ramble Daily, where we'll be covering all of your horse needs. There's more! Every day during the Cheltenham Festival, Betway are giving you the chance to win £50,000 in the free-to-play or to win game. Head to betway.com to play now. Up next, more horses. Horse, horse, horse. Horse, horse, horse. Horse, horse, horse. Full terms apply. 18 plus only. BeGambleAware.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.